We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, everybody.
We are the Pettiest Bills Podcast.
I'm not bright enough for all of that.
Drew Gator.
Because I thrive off negativity, it's just more hackery from a charlatan and a carpetbagger.
The Rock Pile Report.
My blood pressure's rising.
He gave him Coors banquet beers out of spite.
The Pettiest, Hardest Drinking Bills Podcast.
I'll go to hell and back just to prove a point.
Everybody to another edition of the Rock Pile Report podcast. I'm your host, Bill's season ticket holder, Drew Gear. It's my producer, Chris Krueger. It's our buddy, Nate Geary, WGR550. He's here in studio. He's in rare form tonight, folks. He's in rare form, and he's going to need to be because apparently this asshole's running a marathon.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
What are you, my boss? Jesus.
No. Apparently, you've decided it's a good idea to start running. Like, I'll tell you this. I work out. I try to stay in shape. I do a little bit of cardio. A little bit. I fucking despise cardio.
He said I work out.
I work out. I try to stay in shape.
Yeah, sure you do, Drew.
I did short. Listen, from 348 down to 198.
Down to Matt Patricia to where you are right now. You're right. You do work out.
I will say, my cheeks might still have they're a little pinchable still. But the idea is that I only run if something's on fire or my life is in danger. Because really, that's all you should be running. These people who go, we run for fun. What are we talking about here? But yeah, you've decided to throw your hat in the ring, apropos of nothing, to decide you want to be a marathon guy. Walk me through this, please.
I watched a podcast that said women really love marathon runners. It was on Joe Rogan.
I'm not going to lie. That's
I watched Joe Rogan podcast and they said to start taking some, it's this supplement.
And then, the ivermectin?
And then run a marathon and then your dick will get a lot bigger.
To take the
so
ivermectin,
I decided
run
to
run a marathon. You'll be invincible.
Your dick
awesome.
Will grow 8 inches. And I said, okay, thank you, Joe. I will do this.
Here's guys. No, this is the honestly, like, this is the thing. Do you understand what running is?
Drew, I am not a runner.
So no, you're not.
I don't know if
I can look at the way you're built. You're not a fucking runner.
Fuck you. I look fucking good for my age.
For your age? You're 32. I'm 38. I'll tell you what.
38. You look 61.
How many push-ups can you do consecutively?
Right now?
He hurt himself after 12. How many push-ups can you do consecutively?
Right now, I could do 13. I'll one up, Chris. I could do 13. Listen, I go to therapy. And
physical therapy?
No, just like a mental therapist.
No, like, listen, him and Robert Kraft have the same therapist. He doesn't know what to say to that.
Yeah, I go to the rub and tug therapist. Yeah. Bless me, Lord, for I have sinned on going to an Asian massage parlor. No, that's not what happened.
So you're going to therapy.
Going to therapy. And my therapist, she challenged me and said, Nate.
Nabe.
I would really like for you to do something that makes you very uncomfortable, that puts you out of your comfort zone, and that is both goal-oriented, meaning I have to put a finish line to it, and I have to train, or I have to do something. If I don't do things leading up to it, that I'll fail, and that I have a fear of failure of. And I said, oh, well, that's obvious. I was just like, I run a marathon. Like, I would be petrified of failing at that, and there's a process that would go along with me being able to do it successfully. So
so you say you don't want to look like Andy Bernard in The Office with his bloody nipples?
I do not, running. And also I'm not going to be eating Alfredo pasta.
Alfredo
pasta before
my. You're not
going
to carb load before.
I made the mistake of telling my boss in passing that I was doing this, and
I wouldn't have told anybody.
He's running the full marathon. He pre-filled out my registration form and then paid in full my registration costs, sent it to me and said, you're good, you're signed up.
Now you're obligated because somebody else paid
How
for
much
you.
Does it cost to run a
$15.
I would have said right. $15. That would have been my guess.
At 100, you're good.
Because I'm paying to run. Like, I'm paying to run. People in the Old West didn't have this problem. There was Apaches. They had to run. People back in the, like, I don't know if you want to go back.
Yogging. The soft J.
Soft J.
I just think it's hilarious that something that used to happen involuntarily throughout human history, like you used to have to sprint and run long distances for the sake of your well-being, and now we do it recreationally. And then there's people who are like, I don't know if I can do this. It's like, well, you better learn how to do it, because otherwise that might be the end. Chris, you think you can make our friend here a cocktail?
No.
Well, he's got to drive home.
Yeah.
Why don't you sample what Drew has? Because it's an old-fashioned.
Now, you're not a runner. Maybe people can... guys, those of you on Yogging Twitter, maybe reach out to Nate at Nate Geary Sports, or is it still at Nate, or have you changed it to Nabe Geary?
It's Nate Geary Sports. Also, by the way, the only competitive run I've ever done, I was in seventh grade and I ran a 5K.
Ew.
I'm not a runner.
Yeah.
I actually hired a run coach.
Oh.
Run coach.
That's not a humble brag that I have the money to hire a run coach. But I do have the money to hire a run coach.
I hired a run coach.
I do.
Hey, guys, here's the thing that everybody learns how to do when you're a child, and then you just know how to run, but I'm going to get a guy to teach me to run so much.
First of all, it's not a guy. Pretty sexist of you.
I'm going to teach
somebody. Pretty sexist of you.
I'm going to hire a guy who can teach me how to run so much better.
It's not about running better. It's that I need someone to actually physically show me how to run. The only thing I know how to do is
Forrest Gump.
The only thing I know how to do is run from my feelings, Drew. I don't know how to run competitively.
Hey, you and me both. We can agree on that. Cheers, brother. We are here talking about the Buffalo Bills 2023 superlatives. The season is over. Nothing matters anymore. It's all over but the crying. And we get to revisit, now that we've had a week to decompress, some of our favorite moments, our lowlights, a lot of things that have happened. I want to open the show with this one. Chris, I think it's right in Nate's wheelhouse, just to warm him up. Nate does the overtime show. Takes callers from WGR 550, which are the most insufferable part of... Chris, can you agree? The most insufferable part of any radio show is the callers.
Yes, and that is why you called in this season.
Yeah, I did. I called in to bother Nate.
Do you have it? Could you play it?
I don't think I have it.
What kind of show is this where you wouldn't have this ready?
I'm sorry.
So now, I called in one fateful night just because I heard... As I'm driving
Gregory
home from
in Atlanta, Gregory, you're on the overtime show. Oh. Welcome.
Hey, Nate. I would like to afford our loser city with the opportunity to see what happens. Make the kick. Anyway,
yeah, I get it. I get it.
The defense decimated and
let's
about putting Josh Allen in. I mean, I played both ways in high school. I'm sure you did too, but I mean, put Josh Allen in at middle linebacker and see what happens.
Yeah, Greg, listen.
that sound right there was you dying inside. It's the sound of a man.
You know how many text messages I got after that? It was like, yo, Nate, good job on that, buddy. I mean, great job, Nate.
These are the callers that Nate has to take after every single
I love
Bills
all of you.
Game.
Keep it up. Keep up the good work, guys.
Now, this is what I want to know. If we're giving away superlatives, what was the worst game to do the overtime show
Week
and
one.
Take those phone calls after?
Mark from West Seneca.
Yeah, Nate, let me tell you. Listen, Josh, you know, he's 6 years in, he doesn't learn his lesson. And listen, I think he'd learn a lot if he was just on the sidelines. He watched Kyle Allen.
If you called, if anyone were to walk up to me at work and say, hey, man, what do you think if they were to suggest that, like, hey, man, what do you think about Kyle Allen starting us? Maybe we bench Josh, huh? What do you think about that? Like, and if they even seemed a little bit excited about it, I would try to engineer a plot to get them fired. I would try to put together a nefarious plot to have them removed from the company because their judgment is obviously poor. You aren't cut out to work with the rest of us professionals. Something about your mental processing
is flawed. You think he thinks he's professional?
Yeah. The separation of church and state that happens between me and work is wild. It's crazy. I'm a different human being outside of here. I'm like Robert California. You don't even know my real name.
I'm the motherfucking lizard king.
So it was week one. When we lost to the Jets, was your worst night on the radio?
No question.
This season?
No question. Like, it was either between that or the Denver Broncos Monday night game.
See, because I called to bail you out of some awful calls.
Oh, did you? Thank you so much.
And then I kind of became
Thanks, Drew.
One.
Thanks so much, Drew.
Hey, the John Fox bit gave you 10 minutes of air that you didn't have to go back to callers. You're welcome. So after the Bills lost to Cincinnati, I called the radio station at 12:45 in the morning. Just because I was like, this is all atrocity.
About to wake his children.
No, I was driving home and I go, these are all war crimes. Like, if these phone calls could be put on a tribunal, these people would all be put in the gulag. So I have to do something to give Nate something to chew on to not
Thanks.
Have to talk to people for 10 minutes and then go to break. And that's what I did. And I think I did it admirably. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Which is what every stupid radio caller says.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. I helped the show.
You're welcome.
But meanwhile, that first week was bad, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was not good.
Chris, favorite Josh Allen performance? Whole season. What was your favorite one?
Giants game?
I don't know.
Favorite Josh Allen performance?
I can't think of one.
Think of a game where you look at it and you're like, that guy was the man.
Dolphins, week four.
Yeah, probably it. That was, at the beginning of the year.
Because
when the
it
weather's
was just like,
nice is
I'm
when
daddy,
Josh can ball.
I'm your daddy. Like Along Came Polly, where he talks about you spanker. I'm your daddy. I'm your daddy. That's Josh Allen to the Dolphins. You're welcome, Alf.
Best individual defensive performance. Any game. Pick one. A game where someone in the defense just jumped out.
AJ Klein, 11 tackles.
Against the Steelers?
I think DaQuan Jones, week four against the Dolphins, was right there. I think that...
What was Bernard's breakout game?
I was going to say Matt Milano against the Raiders.
Matt Milano against the Raiders, he was a man on fire.
Great movie.
You couldn't touch him.
He was Dude, Denzel.
It's my favorite.
He was Denzel.
It's
in
my
that
favorite
game.
Movie to a degree that the other night I watched it through YouTube clips, the entire movie, because I had too many cocktails and couldn't figure out how
Again?
To get the Alexa. Then I couldn't figure out how to get the Fire Stick to work. So I watched the whole movie through YouTube clips. Tell me that Matt Milano wasn't the game wrecker against the Raiders. Amazing. My favorite was DaQuan Jones against Miami. And I'll say this. Everybody loved Ed Oliver all season long. Deservedly so.
Yeah.
He earned his flowers. But DaQuan Jones in that game was unstoppable. Seven pressures. Like, look at the stat line. Seven pressures, one sack, one hit, five hurries, two run stops, and a tackle for loss. Oh, you're a one tech. You're not even, you're like, you would have thought that he was a three tech.
I remember my favorite defensive performance of the year. Yeah. Taylor Rapp against the Miami Dolphins week 18.
I just know it.
Tua can't forget. He threw a pick to Taylor Rapp.
Idiot.
It is
what
funny.
What a loser.
Well, loser!
And what I think is funny is that when he did it, afterwards, all Mike McDaniels could say was,
Well,
he was lined up about 3 yards from where we thought he was going to be. And I go, oh, so your quarterback's not smart enough to parse that, like, hey, that safety's a little bit more inside than where I think he is. What that tells you is their quarterback is the definition of a system quarterback. If the coach is trying to explain a game-losing decision by saying, well, this guy was lined up 3 feet from where we thought he'd be. That's not a good answer.
It's not a good look.
That's not a good look at all. Don't say that. It's fucking wild. And yet here we are, right? Like, the Bills have had some... How about the honorable mention, Rasul Douglas against the Patriots?
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
You don't... I want to say that's the only time a player from the Bills was named Defensive Player of the Week for the season. I mean, I'm just spitballing here. Now, you. Who are you texting?
I was looking at Josh Allen. He's of course he's, you are. You know who he's playing with tomorrow at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am?
Someone else gay who likes golf?
Jesus.
Yeah, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I'll get canceled.
Yeah. You're going to get receded for that. Anyways.
It's not a thing. Golf is hard, and I can't. I'm insecure about golf because it's.
The same way Nate's insecure about running?
I feel fine about running. Fuck you.
It's hard, and Nate, can I've we, tried to do it.
Nate, can we go possible. Play? I mean, I don't know if. Drew is allowed at your course.
No, he's not.
Maybe
he's,
no, I can't.
We could go to a municipal.
Can we do a Friday public course?
Yeah, we'll go to Bobolinks.
Not a par three. I want to see Drew hit a par five.
Pull a driver out.
Yes,
he would have to hit a pull. He would have to pull a driver out on a lot of the holes.
I'm not going to lie to you. I can drive. I can't do anything else.
That's why I know you're lying. And
All I have is a tee shot. If you can tee it up off the ground, otherwise I top the hell out of everything. Because I don't know what it is.
It's just you're not an athlete.
You and Chris keep talking about being athletes. And yet, I'm literally just sitting in the Hall of Dad Bods right now. Look at this. Look at that side eye. Him getting that side eye going. It's... I'm in the Hall of Dad Bods right now.
That ain't a dad bod.
And I'm being told that I'm... No, that right there is a fuel tank for a high-octane golfing machine.
You're welcome, America.
Best coaching performance of the season. I'm talking about what coach or coordinator did their job the best. Now, I said Bobby Babich with linebacker development. And when you look at this, I think about Milano... All proceeds.
I just missed that putt. But I'll tell you what, though. I'm a stud. You look at that stroke. I'm a stud.
I'm a stud. I just missed it. Milano, all pro type season, then gets hurt. Bernard, zero to hero, just comes out of nowhere to be a phenom for our defense. Tyrell Dodson somehow looks serviceable after years of being like, oh my God, don't ever put that guy in the field again. AJ Klein. Off the couch, as you've often said. Off the couch. He's on vacation already. He's in vacation mode, and he comes in and plays a football game in his first one out of the box against a bad offensive team. He does well. Dorian Williams didn't get a lot of run, but he looked sharp in the run game when he had to. That's a room that seemed like it worked. Seemed like it was well coached from top to bottom. And it almost made me look at it and kind of revisit where I thought about Brandon Bean and not investing in that position. Now, who was your favorite coach? Whether it be a position coach, a coordinator, or
easy.
Our head coach?
This is so easy, dude. This is so easy.
Yep.
There's only one guy on the entire Bills coaching staff that has assaulted a teenager with a lawn chair.
Aaron Cromer, baby.
And it's Aaron Cromer, and that is my coach of the year for assaulting a teenager.
Well, I'll say also assaulting the Cowboys. He might as well have hit them with a. They might as well have been the 16-year-old he was hitting with a lawn chair.
We played with the same five all year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, that's...
Osiris Torrance led the team in snaps. Osiris Torrance.
Nate, how did you like his season?
It was really good. It was real good.
Are you doing this intentionally not just to make him mad?
I don't know what to do with my hands.
How he's doing this just to make Chris... See, he gets pissed at me when I move the microphone. So now I do it all the time.
This is... Nate's bit here is better because he's... In front of, he's blocked by four Montucky cans. Drew intentionally moves the mic.
Sorry.
Out of the way.
Is that better? Do you get the branding?
Yes.
as if anyone wants to see more of Drew and less of the microphone. You know, it's absurd.
No, Cromer's a great pick for that. Chris, do you have one?
I'd probably go with Cromer too. I didn't hear Osiris Torrance's name at all during the year.
Which means it's a good thing.
Same thing.
If you don't hear offensive lineman's name,
if you don't
thing.
Hear yeah. a guard's name, that means they're doing their job.
Their due diligence.
I enjoy that being
recognize the value when it landed in his lap.
Well, versus when he drafted Cody Ford in the second round. Then he just got scared of ever drafting another lineman.
I don't know if that's fair because he did spend two rounds.
Osiris Torrance was a second round pick, just like Cody Ford.
Osiris Tyrants.
Yes, that is. He got this one right.
Just because I mispronounced your name doesn't mean I'll butcher his name.
All right.
Now he's my favorite trench player, 2023. Osiris Torrance. Now. And to your point, there's a lot of people out there who look at it and you're like, oh, well, Bean's earlier forays into line building didn't exactly go well, right? 15 true free agents got signed to this team, and more than half of them started games for Buffalo during that span. Most of them weren't good.
Do you want to know who my favorite free agent is?
Ooh, I can't wait to get to this. Hang on, hold that thought.
I'll hold it twice.
In 8 draft picks... along the offensive line since 2018 when Bean officially took over the draft room. Never like a trying, yet the line didn't gel. It didn't come together. I mean, Teller eventually became something, but he got traded away. What are you going to do about that? Cody Ford, holy fuck. Cody Ford got traded somehow to the Cardinals and then for like a 5th-round pick.
And John Fina.
And John Fina.
That's a good point.
They gave us back John Fina's dignity that they stole while he had to play there. And then there's just a bunch of guys like Dave Questenberry. How about that? Dave Questenberry.
I swear to God, if you disrespect that man, I'm going to...
I'll fight him and you.
I'll jump over this fucking table. I will break your laptop from 1998.
From 1998.
Let me guess. Is that Windows 4 on this laptop that you've got over here?
Windows 98.
The best
free agent signing the Bills have had has been David Edwards, and I wish that you would try to fight me on it. I wish you'd fight me on it.
David Edwards was actually a really nice piece because I like the fact
he was a great sixth offensive lineman.
Super Bowl pedigree, interior offensive lineman.
You know who has a Super Bowl pedigree?
Nobody on the Bills roster except for him. So now, here's what I like. People were hesitant about the idea of Torrance because they were like, well, no. Because the idea, I heard it, and I heard callers to your
stupid
radio
heard,
shows.
I also heard someone say I was really handsome.
What I didn't like was the idea that people go, well, he's another second round offensive lineman who's probably going to fail. And you go, well, yeah, but just because you failed before doesn't mean you'll do it again.
It's different. They met
Torrance
offensive.
Was supposed to be a first round.
Cody Ford was an offensive lineman.
Yes.
Not offensive lineman. He was offensive. I was offended when I watched Cody Ford. I really liked Osiris Torrance. I think he's one of the best young interior offensive linemen in the league.
Yes.
And he is in no way offensive. I'm not offended by his presence like I was Cody Ford.
Now, biggest win and worst loss. Let's talk about this. Biggest win has to be Bills in Miami and Hard Rock, right?
Absolutely not.
All right.
In Kansas City.
You think winning in Kansas City was bigger than that win in Miami?
Yeah.
Even though that win in Kansas City didn't materialize in the playoffs.
Had they lost in that Kansas City game, the season was over. They'd have been 6-7. The season was over.
Yeah. We wouldn't have been in the playoffs.
Season was over. They would have made the playoffs had they lost to the Miami Dolphins in week. And then they would have got to go back there and avenge it in week in the wild card round. So absolutely, it's not close. It's the Kansas City Chiefs game.
Okay.
Let me guess. Is it the Los Angeles Chargers with what's his fucking name? Easton Stick? Is that it for you? Is that their biggest win of the year? Or is it the New York Giants when they won 7-6 or whatever they won? 14-9?
No. For me, it was Josh and Hard Rock, just because it's one of those things of like, hey, you guys hold the high ground.
That's like Chris in a strip club. Of course he's going to spend $6,000. Who cares? Of course it's going to work. Who cares about Josh Allen at
let
the
me, at, just no, catching let strays me, during you and me trying to snipe at each other?
Let me give you a strip club story. I used to have a friend in Atlanta.
Gladys?
Nope. He was Italian from South Africa and played soccer.
Drew Gear. Was his name Drew Gear?
No, soccer? No.
I'm not running. No. I told you this.
Guy,
everything else fit the bill. South
this
African and white.
Dude's
sound a
name,
lot like you.
Ugo Batusi. I worked with him at the City of Alpharetta. City of Alpharetta. That's where we worked together. If I, like, wanted to, like, go out, I would call Ugo and be like, hey, like, I need to, like...
I need 20 Percocet.
I need to get out of the house. I gotta do something. There was one time I went out with him, and we went to, like, 3 or 4 different spots, and one of the stops was a strip club in Atlanta, and I spent no money inside of this strip club, and I had a dancer walk up to me in like a sexy nurse outfit, and she said to me, hey, sweetie, would you like a dance? I said, I don't have health insurance. And she walked away. That's...
You're such an idiot. I love you.
That's how it's done.
Chris is like, I have a line to break the ice. And instead what he does is he just destroys.
I'm aspiring to be a manager, is what he said.
I'm aspiring to be a manager someday.
You know, I'll tell you guys a strip club story about me. Last year, I went to Las Vegas on my yearly trip, and I went to a club, and I met a girl named Vivian, and we had plans. She was going to move back to Buffalo with me, but
is this the mom from Fresh Prince of Bel Air?
She decided that, you know, life was better in Las Vegas as a dancer. And hey, listen, you know, each to their own. I came back, and then I became a bartender.
It's a real white trash Buffalo story. That's how I know you're one of us.
She cost $450 a dance.
Yeah.
And then another $100 for drinks. And I did that 6 times.
Jesus Christ. See, I think I'm the only person who's just dead inside.
Let me tell you what. Can I tell you what, Jack? Can I tell you what, guys? You can't get that with a radio salary.
Now, here's what I know. Strip clubs have always been depressing to me because
you can't afford the good ones.
No, but it's because I can't separate myself from the fact that I'm like, oh, I hand this money over and then that chick goes and buys her kid breakfast with it.
That's
God.
It's the one moment of fucking humanism you could have is, you know what, at least this $20 is going to go to an omelet for some kid who really has earned it. And you're
like,
fuck that kid.
I don't need to see that.
Montucky.
Yeah. Just open up a fund. so that I can buy children breakfast cereal. That's it. And I'll donate to that instead of going to a strip club.
You're like, because can I bring you a can
this
of Campbell's soup?
We need a sponsor for Magic Spoon. Now that Drew's talking about cereal. Anybody at Magic Spoon that watches this, hit us up. We would love to
here's what's funny.
Be a sponsor.
I was thrown out of a strip club in Pittsburgh. My friend, and then when I say thrown, I mean actually physically.
Oh,
yeah,
this
up
is the Mark
removed.
Schlereth.
So there was a weekend where I was in Pittsburgh. At that morning, we were at a casino. Mark Schlereth was talking trash about the
Tyrod Taylor Bills.
Tyrod Taylor, EJ Manuel, Matt Castle quarterback competition.
It's a great group.
And he goes, how many Bills? They're like, who's going to win? He goes, no one, because they don't have an actual NFL quarterback.
Facts,
on the roster.
Mark Schlereth.
And so I got mad at that. I started drinking. It's 10 a.m. Now, fast forward to 3 a.m., my friends told me we were going to get pizza, and instead we rolled into a place called Cheerleaders. And so this happens, and then the bouncer has an eye patch.
Jesus Christ.
And, I mean, it's Pittsburgh. It's Pittsburgh.
It's the Twin Cities.
So
I don't think that's what their nickname is.
All of my friends are gone now. They're all in the champagne room having fun.
The champagne room is so expensive.
And because I can't justify, like, I'm like, this is all gross. I shouldn't be here. This is disgusting. I would donate money to your children, just not to whatever the hell else you guys are doing. And also, this just feels awful. So I'm being abrupt with a woman who's trying to talk me into a dance. And the bouncer comes over. Now, I've been making pirate comments the entire time. And he comes over and just goes, one more word and you're out of here. And I go, what are you going to make me walk the plank? Thrown out into a parking lot. You've seen those bouncers. They're not small guy.
And you aren't a small guy. So that's what makes me.
He physically removed me from the premises. And then he felt so bad about how roughly he ejected me that he came out to check on me. And I was still just sitting there with one flip-flop on. And it turned into a thing where he goes, dude, are you okay? I go, no, I didn't want to be here. I don't even know why.
I'm getting kicked out of a bar I don't even want to be at.
Yeah, and he looked at me and goes, can I get you anything? I go, all I want is chicken fingers and a bottle of water.
And someone named Vivian.
And he went and got them for me.
And got a Vivian.
He got me an order of chicken fingers and a bottle of water as I'm sitting on the curb outside. I go, this is how I know strip clubs are awful. And all of this is terrible. Now,
strip clubs are great. You should shut up.
Bills, Dolphins, Hard Rock, weekday team.
Actually, can I tell you that there's actually a strip club at Hard Rock Stadium?
Doesn't shock.
It's called the Dolphin.
Come from behind division ceiling.
That's where
victory.
Elf does all of his
stupid
live
spots. The iconic stupid look on McDaniel's face is what cements it for me. He looked like a moron. So, this is happening because you're dumb. You're not a good coach. And then the Dolphins fan base just melting down in the wake of this. Like, well, Josh Allen is like, they're celebrating with Bills fans on national TV inside their stadium. Like, that has to hurt.
I don't think it hurts as much as it hurts.
And know? Then me and my buddy Craig and Iman and Kyle Trimble from BangedUpBills.com, we all went down to my basement and cracked a bottle of Blanton's that I'd been saving for a special occasion. And that was nice. It was the best win of the year. Week one, Monday Night Football, Jets, I'm with you. That was the worst loss. Mostly because, like, here we go. Epic embarrassment ingredients. Inexplicable, unexplainable Josh Allen turnovers. Atrocious play calling, missed field goals. Game ending on an absurd special teams play. And Chris, the best part. We lost to Zach Wilson! Zach Wilson was the Jets quarterback and we lost to him.
Yeah, he's really good.
How many times are we going to lose to that guy?
More than anyone else.
It's wild.
Can I tell you that I don't think Zach Wilson's beat another team as a starting quarterback more than one time in his career?
Nope.
I think I can guarantee that he's beaten the Bills more than any team he's beaten in NFL history.
So that brings us to our best and worst take of 2023.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Yeah, takes, and then here comes the take master, and this is a Nate Geary segment, baby. This is why we dragged you down here. Fed you a bunch of Montauk. Yeah, you better hide behind those cans. First of all, what do you think is your worst take of the year? Because you've had a lot.
I think my worst take of the year is that,
What are you doing? What is this character you're playing?
I think the worst take of the year is that
Chris, he literally tells us how rich he is and then he goes to strip clubs and then he won't talk in a full voice into the microphone.
I think the worst take of the year is that that
does it have to do with coffee?
I think the worst take of the year is
you have to think about this because you've had a lot of shitty things.
I think the worst take of the year is that
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's all what we love, dead air.
I'm just looking at his face going, I'll
he doesn't
help you.
Know.
I'll help you this. How about this? Your tweet about it being over. You're like, the Bills aren't, wake up, Bills fans. We're not beating the Chiefs, the Cowboys, and everybody else.
Hey,
and
you,
the Dolphins. We're, it's
Chris, can you zoom in? Can you zoom into my face? Are you able to do that?
No.
Chris.
All right, you can zoom in. Hold on.
Guys, for those of you who are watching at home, there's a tweet right now.
Hold on.
Those of you who are watching, there's
I can. Why don't you sit down?
Put your microphone up to my face while I get really close to the camera.
How did it go for you at the end of the year, guys? Were those wins worth it for you? Did you get to the end goal?
I bet you didn't. I bet you would have rather lost, and I would have been right because you still lost. You're a bunch of idiots, and I always win.
When you declared the season over, right? When you declared the season
over. It ended anyways, didn't it? It ended just a little bit later than I thought it would.
After we won the division and then beat a wild card team.
You beat another team with a quarterback who can barely walk
sure.
without a walker.
Sure, but that's a Sean McDermott issue, which we've talked about. But realistically, what
best
I love is
that, honestly, can we say that maybe Josh Allen finally beat the best quarterback he's ever beaten in the playoffs in Mason Rudolph? Cool, yeah, awesome, sick guys. Hey, great. Guess what? You guys got the last laugh. You guys beat the Chiefs, and you know, I mean,
Bills are not beating the Chiefs, Cowboys, and Dolphins, guys. It's over.
Hey, guess what? You beat all those teams, and then you lost again. And I'm a chock full of nuts guy all day.
I'm a chock full of nuts. This is like, are you?
Fuck off, Mark.
You're not chock full of nuts. It's for poor people.
No, I'm just like my really good friend Bruce Nolan. I am a grape nuts guy through and through.
God. So what I get from this is you're both irregular. And you just need
no,
to figure out your
I eat grape nuts, and I shit very regularly.
Yeah, because you're packing your body full
fiber.
Of fiber.
Yeah.
I could set a watch to mine, and ultimately I don't have to do that. You millennials. So, Chris, your worst opinion of 2023?
I mean, I don't think I had... I don't say outlandish stuff on the show. I did say, however, maybe in August, and it's non-Bills related. It was my best football take. I said, Philadelphia is going to miss Shane Steichen, and it will show. And
that
it
might
did.
Be your best take of
that
the season.
That is my
because,
best take.
Tell you what, did they or did they not miss Shane Steichen? Oh, God, he's taking photos. Here we go. So, I will say that my best and worst take of 2023. My worst was that our linebacker room construction was GM malfeasance. I was like, you're being reckless with the position that is like one of the most important for a team that runs through its defense. I don't know. I already gave them their flowers. All of these guys thrived under Babbage. So it makes you take a step back and evaluate the job Bean has done in terms of trusting the people on the roster who are giving him feedback on the growth and their evaluations of the talent he has on hand. And I think that that gets lost in a lot of what we talk about on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis about football. The GM's job is, Chris, it's almost like when I look at my wife.
Oh, boy. And you're like, I don't deserve this at all. I'm pretty ugly. She's very good looking. And I'm wondering when the spell will wear off. Is that what you're wondering?
No. What it is when she comes to me and says, okay, what do we need from the grocery store this week? Because I'm going to go do the shopping, and I know you're incapable of it. Which
are you saying your wife is Brandon Bean and you are the assistant general manager?
I'm not even the assistant. I might be Sean.
You're the quality control coach?
I might be Sean McDermott in this equation, but probably not. I'm probably Aaron Cromer, where I'm trying to cobble together some nice things. And it just, like, I hope it all comes together. But she'll come to me and go, what do I need? You tell me what we need, and I'll go get it. And I'll figure out what that looks like when I get there. And I think that we discount the fact that for us fans who go, we need this wide receiver and we need that and we need that. He looks at his position coaches and goes, hey, do you guys think we need another wide receiver in free agency? Do you think that we need to draft another highly talented linebacker? And they go, no, 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 no. Babbage goes, no, 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 no. I can work with everybody in this room. And they go, well, all right, then fuck free agency. All right, we're not going to go out there and get it. We're not going to go spend on a guy. And that's how that ends. And then fans scream about it. And yet, who's right?
Me.
The guy who trusts his coaches. Why? Because they're probably decent coaches. Like, these are the things that you... These are the things that you don't appreciate about our GM. And I think we all need to take a little bit of stock in that. That he had the balls to stand by Shakir as like, hey, he's going to be my next man. He's going to be my first man up off the bench when our initial plan fails.
He got lucky.
Yeah, sure, he got lucky. He didn't bring in right tackle competition for Brown, and everyone thought lucky. That was Melfi. Okay, he got lucky.
A little bit of luck goes into all of this, by the way.
Bernardin Dodson versus the UFA, I'm going to cost you $5 million apiece field. And yet they got us right there. And then because of a coach going, well, I see this as a glaring weakness and I don't care. You put the wrong guy in the wrong spot for too long and it costs us again. He can't control that, but he gave you tools. He gave you tools that got you through a season and won your division.
I'm a tools guy.
So, with that said, my ugliest take of the season was that linebacker room wasn't built properly, and I blame Bean for it. Bean is good at his job. He's very good. I think that a lot of the gas...
He's like me at Sports Talk Radio. He's really good. Underrated.
And I think that my best take was probably that Sean McDermott's not coachable. We talked about this.
What do you think my best take is?
Your best take? Oh, Jesus Christ. I think your best take of the year was probably avoiding our podcast for the entire regular season. Your best decision was not coming on here in the regular season after you were tweeting wild shit out, and then we just get to...
We didn't invite you on the show until last week.
Yeah.
We gave you a good 6 months.
Thanks, guys.
Well, no, because I'm like, well, he's out of your...
You had to let my takes bake.
Well, what I had to do was give it...
You had to let the dough rise. You had to let the dough rise.
What I have to do is give you time, because if you come in here after you say something wild, I have to address it.
Well, no, what you have to do is you have to let it bake. I had a great take about how the Bills really wanted 12 personnel, and guess what they're going to do? They're going to trade Dawson Knox this offseason. So
which would
be right.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'll be right.
Why are they going to trade him? Right. Guess who's your rookie of the year?
Rookie of the year is
Osiris.
Probably Osiris or probably Dorian Williams.
It's got to be Dalton Kincaid.
Who?
Dalton Kincaid. Yeah, who?
Who?
Hey, again, guys, in case you don't remember the conversation.
Let me finish my thought on Kincaid.
Okay.
Because this is more of a whataboutism that people, and I'm going to call Aaron Quinn out on this, right? So here's what's going to happen, right? Is everyone's going to say he's a receiver. He's think of him as this. Okay, well then let's compare him at the end of the season to Jordan Addison. And to Zay Flowers.
Yep.
And to Jackson, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Well, no. I mean, he's a tight end. We can't compare him to wide receiver. No. You can't have it both ways. Okay? And this is my point, is you can't preface this conversation around him. Well, don't look at what's next to his name. What do you mean? You do it for 99.999% of every other. We're going to make one exception this one time for this guy because you love the team so much and you think he's this crazy great matchup against slot corners in the NFL. Give me a break. He is a tight end. And you traded up in an NFL draft two spots. He gave up a fourth round pick and you picked him at 25. He better be on the field 80% of the snaps. I've got a lot of reservations about having two tight ends on the field when they ran it 12 personnel 13% of the time last year. But they would be astronomically changing their offense.
This is where I come in like a bulldozer and try to remind you that they fucking wanted to. They tried. They paid O.J. Howard a ridiculous contract.
What do you mean?
Hang on,
they cut him before training camp ended.
And it was fully guaranteed.
So what? It was astronomical. It's like $1 million, Drew.
For a dude who they knew was a
was going to be a blocking tight end. He's got no gas left. They really thought he was going to come in here. They were going to run 50% of their snaps because they got O.J. Howard at the end of his. Give me a break.
Don't go get O.J. Howard if you're offensive.
Biggest fucking myth that you could possibly say is they've been looking for this position forever. We got O.J. Howard for $1 million guaranteed. No. Oh, my God. All of the assets, the time, the energy spent.
The people watching us on YouTube are getting a fucking
a
show.
A freaking backup, the 50th ranked PFF tight end. Oh, my God. The time and energy and the resources.
Now,
Nate Geary. From our show back in May, his draft take. Nate, I appreciate you saying all of that because it got us two segments on GR morning radio that week. And we appreciate
Sal.
We made the radio.
Sal was so, he wasn't like angry, but like he felt like it was like a personal attack on him, which, I mean,
maybe it was.
He was the 12 personnel champion.
I know. And he was like, Nate, I'm hurt. Et tu, Brute? It's hilarious.
Whatever. You guys can't. You can't put a wedge between Sal and I.
No, but what I love is this
love
idea.
Sal. No one will ever
you
ruin
hated,
Sal and I's relationship. So you, good try.
You hated the idea of this tight end. And then he goes on to break the single season.
This is how you know that Sal and I are good friends, is that afterwards...
Because he let you slide on this.
Because
he let this one go and goes, Nate,
Sal
I
was
love
like,
you, and I
Sal
respect
goes,
a lot
Sal
of
goes,
things
I know you
said.
I know you weren't singling me out. I go, oh, no, I was. Yeah, no, I was.
Yeah, I was.
And he didn't care, and then he made fun of me on air, and that's why we're friends. That's why, listen, there are very few people I love more than Sal Capaccio. Sal's a beauty, and he is good. Here's the thing about Sal that a lot of people maybe you know this, maybe you don't know this about Sal. Sal's as good as taking it as he has given it.
Yeah.
And there are very few people in the world that can take a good joke about themselves and then deliver a really good one in return, and then afterwards you slap up, and you go, that's Sal Capaccio.
Because if you can't break balls, then you're not actually friends.
No.
Then right. You're not actually friends.
Sal is as good as anyone is breaking balls, but he also takes breaking balls better than anybody. He's
Dalton Kincaid went on to set the single season tight end reception record for the team with 81. He was top 10 in separation.
Whoever.
Like, pass catcher separation.
Comparing to Zay Jones, Zay Flowers, you fucking...
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
I said Zay Flowers.
He dominated all these guys in fine
wide
metrics.
Receiver next to his name.
Jordan Addison.
No, this is it. In terms of NFL Next Gen stats and pass catchers, he finished top 10. And he was 8th best in the NFL for average separation.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
And this is why it's like, look, you have to give it to Kincaid. You're never going to find a rookie impact like that because the Bills haven't seen one in 10 years. He's the antithesis of Aaron Maben.
See, I was on the fence. It's under the table.
Pulled that out.
Yeah, it's under the table. I was on the fence of Kincaid being, you know, first round tight end because, let's see, I watched T.J. Hockenson get drafted.
I watched film.
I watched T.J. Hockenson go to Detroit, and I was told by the media, oh, he's going to change the position. And then I saw Kyle Pitts go to Atlanta. Oh, he's going to change the position.
Well, he got
Dalton
Arthur
Kincaid
Smith.
To the Bills. He's going to change the position.
Which we didn't get to talk about. Can I say this now? Because I have to get it out of my head. It'll fucking explode. The Steelers actually fired Matt Canada because they go, he's underutilizing our best skill position players.
And then
they hire Arthur Smith.
And then.
Who literally, he gave Bijan Robinson top 10 pick in the NFL draft. Phenom running back Bijan Robinson. Fewer red zone carries than Josh Allen.
All right, listen. We get let's get to the LVP because if I don't piss, I gotta pee my pants pretty here.
Weird. Soon. Go take a leak. We'll find. I can do MIP. I can do
I'm
MIP.
I'm gonna go pee. I'll be right back.
Hit the can, bro.
I want LVP.
So. We are a loose show here. We're not professionals.
Yeah, this isn't Rogan.
I just thought I was Lawyer
this
Mark.
Isn't Rogan, babe.
I thought I was Lawyer Mark.
This isn't Rogan.
So, most improved player. Chris?
Shakir.
Hit the drop. It's got to be wide receiver Khalil Shakir.
Don't take it personally, all right? Franchise star players are a lot like Highlanders. There can only be one.
Everybody loves the fact that Stephon Diggs is a part of this team. Diggs is great. Except this year, how many highlight reel plays did he deliver?
I remember highlight reel drop.
I know a bunch of those. Now, here's what's crazy. You look at Khalil Shakir, third best differential between yards after the catch per reception and expected yards after the catch per reception in the entire NFL. The dude can catch and run in situations when he's not supposed to. He had the best catch percentage in the NFL this season. Or any season. Number one in NFL history. 87%. That's the best by a wide receiver with 45 or more targets. Because they have to qualify it somewhere in order to make it equitable. That's wild. This is a guy that we drafted in the 5th round. And Chris, who could have told you that he was going to be good?
Brett Coleman.
So when you went back and watched the video, all of the things that Shakir was good at, you got to see on tape this year. And it's nothing fancy. It's nothing complicated. It's...
Dude gets open.
I cut quickly. I have fluid hips. I'm smaller than you. And I'm fast. I'm legit 4.4 play speed. I'm under 6 feet tall. And... I have fluid hips. You put those three things together, what you have is a receiver who is maybe the most dynamic possession receiver in the entire NFL. I want to run this by you. Nate, you feel lighter? As he sits down. Nate, Khalil Shakir only had one game where he caught a pass and didn't also catch a first down pass. One game. 66% of all of Khalil Shakir's targets went for a first down, which is one of the craziest statistics to think about. Like, hey, he's like what is it, Sex Panther? He is Sex Panther as a wide receiver. 60% of the time it works every time. If I want a first down, well, I'll just find Khalil Shakir. 60% of the time it works every time. How do you parse this idea that Diggs went from fifth round pick to star, and then from star to aging star to injured guy who's trying to... He played most of the season through an injury, and I think the team did a good job of what they usually do, which I think I got a laugh out of Elf because I told him no team obfuscates the injury report more than the Buffalo Bills. Remember Jerry Hughes would play a whole season with no games missed, no practices missed, and then the season would end, and he'd had wrist surgery, knee surgery, ankle surgery, and you're like, oh, you lied about all this. He was getting treatment the whole time. You have Stephon Diggs. He's great at what he does, but that window is closing, and he's kind of diminishing, and then you look at Khalil Shakir, and you go, here's a guy who is maybe the most electric possession receiver anyone's ever seen. How is he not the most improved player from last year to this year?
It's Ed Oliver.
Fuck you. That's
low. Ed Oliver.
Fuck him. Yeah, except when it matters.
Okay. Well, again, like the MVP is the regular season award, Ed Oliver is the most improved player award because of what he did in the regular season.
All right. Do you think that him being the most dominant defensive lineman we have for 18 weeks and then doing a no-show in the biggest game of the year, like, I'm supposed to credit him for that?
Yes, you are.
I don't like it, but I'll live with it. Now, Chris, the LVP.
You may not like it, but you got to respect it.
This is it. You have to accept it. The cream rises to the top.
Cream always
rises
to the top.
Dude, Macho Man, if we could just get Dan Soder doing Macho Man things, like, I could listen to that all night. Chris, the 2023 LVPs, the least valuable persons on the Buffalo Bills, hit me with the drop.
You folks fell on your face. You get an F minus in my book.
My first mine is Tyler Bass.
Why?
Because the team finally paid a kicker. You finally got a kicker to a second contract. The guy looked like he was doing well, and then that entire operation just broke down over the course.
Maybe it's maybe it's the long snapper.
Listen, I don't care who it is. You think I haven't had these conversations? Here's the worst part. I'm a business partner. Yeah, listen, I love that guy.
It's only because Reed threw me under the bus on a.
Yeah, that happened.
You can't have dead air on here.
Drew just shit his pants.
I just
that's quite a, possible.
Mark that in your notes.
I just crop dusted.
No, mark that in your notes. I'd like that to go online when he shits his pants and I make a reaction. I think the snaps weren't that good. I think that it's probably 80% of the reason that Bass was missing kicks is the snaps were off snaps.
So are you trying to call out the snapper because you're mad?
I think they should start looking at some other snappers, frankly.
I hope he shows up here and fights you. He fought that defensive tackle from the Jets. You think he's scared of you?
Whatever. What, he's like 6'4"? Whatever.
6'2".
Guess what? Guess who's got hair?
Yeah, but guess what? He can actually run.
Oh, he has hair.
He can actually run.
He has hair. He refuses to grow it.
Yeah, well, sounds like a coward to me.
Tyler Bass. All I can go back to is that
bad snaps. That's what you can go back to.
That Saturday night, watching the game, Green Bay against San Francisco.
Can I tell you what the hero? Hold on, before you go finish with this, I'd like to nominate my hero of the year, Tyler Bass, for missing that field goal against the Chiefs, so that we didn't have to watch them go down the field and kick a game-winning field goal as time expired. Instead,
We pulled the plug early. Thank you, Tyler Bass, for pulling the plug on a relative rather than trying to keep them alive for the worst part of their entire fucking existence. Thank you, Tyler Bass, for missing the field goal. Thank you, most valuable player. Appreciate you.
It's dark, but I like it. I'm not going to lie. The snark, like, that's what this show is about. It's about just being dark and sometimes disrespectful to people. I tweeted out that night that if we put the game in the hands of Tyler Bass, we would, he would fuck this up. So then fast forward tonight, I'm home. I've left the game early. I've gone home. I'm standing there in the living room with my wife. And when he misses that kick, she looks at me and she goes, "You did this." And I was like, well, I believe fuck. That. God. All right. Fair. Tyler Bass was the most erratic part of this team this entire season.
Not you.
Week one, like, you think about all the times we went for it on fourth down late in the season.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that was born of Sean McDermott genuinely believing the analytics, which I don't buy after that Damar Hamlin fucking play call on fourth down. I don't buy any of this. Or how much of it was his fear that Tyler Bass just wasn't very good. They have a problem, and they have to fix it in the offseason.
I agree. They should find a new long snapper.
And the second one, I'll let you run away with this. That's Sean McDermott. LVP material?
No, he's good.
No, he's good? Who's your second? Who's your LVP?
My LVP. My LVP is Reed Ferguson.
Because he made fun of you online.
I think he could listen. Like, I got a guy in high school. He had great snaps. If they want to meet somebody that can get Chris, the job done at a cheaper rate,
this beef is becoming personal. We're gonna have to settle it the way they do Foxy boxing.
Nate, when are you gonna take a snap from Reed? We need that.
I don't think you know how to hold.
Do you want to go in the driveway? Get him here, and we'll do it in the driveway.
Dude, he's in Houston.
We try to do training camp. The problem is my schedule is when I'm on air, it's almost impossible to do unless I get there way early, and then he wants to get out there early before practice, which he's already out there warming up just for him to toss a bad snapback. So, we get him here a week before training camp in the driveway.
Oh, yeah, no, we'll do this.
We'll do it. We'll set it up in the front yard.
We'll set it up right here.
Tripods, everything.
We'll bring Bass.
I will not warm up. I will not warm up.
You're an idiot. Dude, it's going to break your hands.
No,
it's okay.
No, this is what we're going
to... I've seen those snaps.
This is what we're going to have is we'll call Reed over for a 4 o'clock call time. We'll call you for 4:15 call time. We'll get shots of you driving up, parking the Jeep in the street, getting out, and holding immediately. No editing. We'll have everything set up.
It's gonna
so
be
you can hold
one
a snap.
Shot. One take.
Yes. And then you and then we get then we get a shot of you
leaving.
I'll even
spin the fucking laces.
Yeah. And then you hold it. And Bass kicks it down the street, and then you get in your Jeep, drive to go pick up the football, and then leave with the football.
I'd actually, if it's possible, could we get his brother? I think he's got a little bit nicer of a snap.
He was just up here.
I think Blake got a little bit nicer of a snap.
Blake was up here for the game.
I'd like you to clip this and send this to him later.
I'm not going to lie to you, Chris. I like fostering a beef. Nothing makes me happier than
he's
being on the
player,
sidelines of a
Reed
good
Ferguson.
Beef. LVP, Sean McDermott has to have a hand in that. You mismanaged.
Who's the
enough.
Defensive coordinator?
Who knows?
Oh, that's what I was going to name LVP. I guess if it's Sean McDermott, then it's Sean McDermott.
Well, that's it. That's what I'm saying. Like, you just continually fail. And if you're not willing to turn it over to somebody else, now here's the real question. Will he give up play calling control? No. All he's doing is finding another patsy. To take the fall for this guy when he's like, oh, hey, things didn't go well. I'll fire this guy and tell everyone things are going to be different. The emperor has no clothes with Sean McDermott. Gosh. And it's frustrating and it's enraging. And yet here we are again where Josh Allen now has to take the public heat. I would love one time for ESPN to just skewer the head coach the way they do our quarterback. That's all I'll say. I wish that the national media would turn the magnifying glass the way they do to our quarterback when we lose football games. I wish they would put that on the coach and take a look at what's happening on that side of the ball and just give me something. Give me something on that. I'd like to hear that conversation, but I don't get it. And that's what makes him the LVP. I'm glad we got all that venom out, Chris. It's cathartic. I mean, ultimately, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, and honestly, I think a lot of us, it's good to know, listen, it's just the acknowledgement that Blake Ferguson's the best long snapper in the league, I think, is really important.
Guys, this has been awesome. I'm happy we could do this.
Nate, let me ask you this, Nate.
Sure.
See that right there?
Yep.
Do you want to come back for any of those? For draft talk? Any position group that you like?
Why don't you add wide receiver up there, and I'll come back here for wide receiver.
You want wide receiver, tight end?
You join us, and we'll get Schofield in.
Yeah. Schofield on
your
too.
Buddy Schofield. Yeah. We'll do
you
it
and
together.
Schofield for wide receivers.
We'll do it together. Because it's kind of the crown yes. jewel of this offseason.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I haven't talked to Schofield in so long. Yes.
I know.
Yeah.
And that's
it. Yeah.
What we'll do is we'll set it up. Don't tell Schofield you're doing it, and we won't tell Schofield
and we'll
that
get
you're
on.
Doing it.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And you'll
yeah.
be here.
And then if I could come back for a third one, will you throw LS on there? Because I think the Bills should probably draft a long snapper.
We'll talk draft long snappers. His brother set a precedent. You can draft them.
You can draft them.
Guys, this has been fun. It's been nice walking down memory lane, but we got to get the hell out of here. I'm Drew Gear. That's Chris Krueger.
And I'm Reed Ferguson.
That's Nabe Geary, and this has been your Rock Pile Report.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.